It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Voice you just heard is a man who's just as tired as I am. That's Kobe Slagle.
Hello. It's been a long week.
It has been a whirlwind
campaign. Yep.
Yes. So if you're listening to this on Friday, you still have time. 1-800-233-0020 or go to WFYI.org to support all the programming on HD1 as well as HD2. All the local programs like The Cool Down and Film Sociology and The Blues House Party and shows not involving Matt and Kobe.
Like no limits.
And everything else. So anyway, 1-800-233-0020 or go to WFYI.org. And if you're listening on Sunday, thanks for pledging. We'll do our best. We try. And we have some guests in studio because April 23rd through May 3rd is the Indianapolis Jewish Film Festival. This is not a repeat. Richard Probst had a guest in first. Now it's my turn. I was not in studio. I wanted to make things right. But we have Robert Epstein and Stan Springer here from the festival. Gentlemen, thank you for hanging out.
You're welcome, Matt.
Good to have you. Well, we'll get to the festival in a little bit. But first, I want to get through some stuff that's new in theaters today. And Kobe, I was thinking you because I didn't get a chance to see this film because they always do the late screening on Thursday night. But there's actually a horror film that intrigues me.
Okay.
The film Unfriended. Have you heard about this?
I have not. Let me do a IMDb search, and maybe that will refresh my memory.
Which is great if you're on the air. I'll explain it to the audience while you're because they can't see what you're looking up online.
Nope.
But it has an interesting gimmick. It is apparently it's in real time, and it's several screens of friends on an online chat, and a mysterious website keeps popping up of one of their friends who committed suicide, and people get picked off one by one. So I believe it's everything in real time on a real Skype group discussion pages. So you're already crinkling your face. You're not going.
No.
I know you're not going to this, but
no, not a chance.
But the Onion actually gave it a good write. The AV Club, I should say, gave it a good write up and said it's
the Onion gave it a good write.
Well,
because that means a different thing from the AV Club.
Let's differentiate. The Onion is a great satirical newspaper. The AV Club, which is also in the Onion, is great actual entertainment writing. So, anyway, that is opening today.
It's real entertainment writing.
It's terrific. Thank you, Elmore Leonard. We also have Monkey Kingdom, which is, I think, the latest Disney nature documentary. Child 44 with Tom Hardy and Gary Oldman. And here's a surprise. Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, opens today. They pulled the advanced screenings this week, earlier this week.
Okay.
So last time a studio pulled advanced screenings was the thriller No Good Deed, which got terrible reviews and made ridiculous amounts of money. So I guess nobody wants to read the reviews of the latest Kevin James Fall Down Go Boom comedy. So that's out there. But opening in theaters today, and actually, Kobe, I've deceived you. Can we get the trailer for True Story?
Sure.
This is the one with performance artist James Franco and non-performance artist and two-time Academy Award nominee Jonah Hill Franco has a nomination of his own. But yes, it is a film with Jonah Hill and James Franco, and it's not a comedy. It happens. It's based on a true story of a disgraced New York Times reporter who ends up getting an exclusive interview with the man accused of murdering his family. And the accused, for a while, took the reporter's name. And this leads to a very interesting bond between author and subject. Do we have the trailer?
Got it.
Here it is.
This is the famous Michael Finkel of the New York Times.
I think after 3 years, you can call me Mike.
You gonna give yourself a day off now?
I'm actually going into the office.
Come home soon.
I love you. This article was about saving young people's lives. You said write it up.
I said write it up, not make it up.
I did the best with what I had.
You have a future ahead of you, Mike. But not here.
You know, to be honest, I'm relieved it's over with the Times. You'd turn into a real prick working for them.
Hello?
Hi, I'm a reporter with the Oregonian. I wanted to get your side on the Christian Longo story.
Who?
He murdered his entire family.
Why are you telling me this?
Because when they apprehended him, he said he was Mike Finkel of the New York Times.
Did he say anything at all about why he claimed to be me?
I'd hoped you might be able to tell me that.
He was just a regular guy, an intelligent, sane man. He comes home one night and kills his wife and kids. It makes no sense.
Thank you for seeing me, Mr. Long.
Call me Chris.
So why me?
I followed your whole career. I guess I felt like I knew you. I want to tell you my side of this. Only you. Maybe at this point it doesn't matter.
The truth always matters.
It always seems to matter to you.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime story. Don't you see this as a second chance? You're an outcast.
That's not the man I wanted to be.
None of us is the man he wants to be.
Hello?
Jill, hey. It's nice to meet you.
Chris?
You know, Mike, he's been a real friend to me.
I just hope that we could be friends, too.
I believe we're dealing with an exceptionally dangerous man.
You had a choice of so many stories to tell, and you chose his.
Actually, he picked me.
He didn't pick you. He used you.
We think he's part of some bigger game plan.
This isn't just about me.
Who do you have to protect?
I can't say.
You think he's innocent, don't you?
My whole reputation's on the line.
Don't give up on me.
Are you really going to be the man who might set him free?
No, he's not!
Chris. Did you do what you're accused of doing?
So you watched the trailer, Kobe. You and Bianca gonna go see this?
Oh, I don't know.
Now Franco's not on your list, right? And Jonah
no.
Hill is not on your
no,
list.
No, no,
for those who don't know, Kobe has a list of actors that he can do without
in
a great deal. And so it's good to know that neither one of them are on that. Hmm. But people they've worked with are on that, just not them individually.
No. They're clear.
their papers clear. That's great. This is a film, when I'm watching it, it's a kind of a throwback to the reporter or interrogation thrillers of the 90s, post Silence of the Lambs. Films like Just Cause or Primal Fear. In fact, as I walked out of the theater, my first impression was if Terrence Malick had made Primal Fear. That was the one with Richard Gere and Edward Norton. That's the one that introduced the world to Edward Norton. Meaning there's a lot of glamorous shots of the Pacific Northwest, and there's a lot of looming atmospheric shots, and it's atmospheric. Not the thing you really want to see in the ad campaign. It's almost like saying visually stunning, which is a euphemism for boring as hell. This is a really dry picture. And you would think with Franco and with Hill, and there is a moment where you keep wondering, when do they start to joke? When, you know, there's got to be a blooper reel when this thing comes out on DVD and Blu-ray, I'm sure, of the two of them having a gala of a time, cracking each other up. And there's a couple light moments when it's just the two people scenes between them, but it's really underplayed, so much so it really lacks a lot of energy. And kind of zap some of the energy out of the room. The way the trailer sounds, it sounds like it could go into stalker thriller territory. It could go into he's getting into his head territory. And it doesn't really go there. And it doesn't turn into a big dumb thriller at the last 20 minutes of the picture as well. But it almost felt like a dare just to see if these guys could do a straight drama together. And it's a suspense drama with not that much suspense. So You know, if you're fans of these guys, I'd say go for it. It's not This Is the End, and it's nothing else that they've worked on, but just a dry piece of toast cinematically. Do we have anything for that? No, we don't.
No, not really. Really.
That's really okay. So, yeah, there's stuff out there. You know what? Go to the film festival. Go to the Indianapolis Jewish Film Festival instead. Save your money from seeing this film and put it into the film festival. And we'll get to the film festival in a little bit. Kobe, what is happening at your alma mater?
This weekend.
Yes.
IU Cinema. We have tonight at 6:30, Bamako from 2006, foreign language drama. And then from 1998. At 9:30 tonight, Rostov, Luanda.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, April 18th, 3 o'clock, Seymour, An Introduction, documentary from last year.
Ah, Ethan Hawke's documentary, yeah.
And Jauja,
mm-hmm.
from last year as well, 7 o'clock, that's Saturday. And then Sunday, April 19th, IU Cinema, 3 o'clock, Life on Earth from 1998. At 6:30, Seymour, An Introduction again. And at 9 o'clock, Machina. Sneak mm-hmm. preview of that. And then Monday.
Yes.
April 20th. Monday Matinee Classics.
Uh-huh.
We had Singing in the Rain once.
Are we road tripping on Monday? Well, you got to work.
Well, yeah, I got to work. Okay. But Monday, 3 p.m., IU Center from 1960, The Apartment.
Ooh, excellent. Have you seen The Apartment?
I have not seen The Apartment.
I think you and Fair Sweet Bianca would like the fine Billy Wilder comedy. Jack Lemmon, Shirley MacLaine, Fred McMurray.
Sounds promising.
It's a nice dig on the corporate world in the early 60s.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. So, yeah, you should add that to your list.
And then,
yes.
Monday at 7 o'clock in the Mental Illness in American Film series at IU Cinema.
Yes.
From 1975, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Best Picture and a lot of other ones. So
there was Fletcher.
Louise Fletcher won Best Actress. That was one of few films that got Best Picture, Actor, Actress, Director, and I believe Writer as well, but definitely wow. The big five. So, yeah, that's definitely worth checking. I showed that to Emma last year because we have a tradition. We watch an Oscar-winning film the day of the Oscars. So one year we watch, because to this day, Emma still refers to Jack Nicholson
as the dad from The Shining.
We're watching Cougars, and she goes, hey, it's the dad from The Shining. Oh, honey, he's so much more than that. Thanks, 13-year-old. Anyway.
And then tonight at the IMA at 7 o'clock, Music and Movies, Pump Up the Volume.
Yeah, with Christian Slater as everyone's favorite early 90s pirate DJ.
So there you go.
Right.
That's what's going on.
We've got a couple other events. The documentary The Merchants of Doubt is happening at Landmark Keystone Arts. Also at Fathom Events at various theaters on the 20th. I guess they have to celebrate this. The 20th anniversary screening of the director's cut of Friday. More Ice Cube, more Chris Tucker. Did you watch Friday when it came out? You were how old?
If it was 20 years ago, yeah, I was 7.
So you kind of missed the demographic audience on that one. Yeah. A little bit. I was your age, I think, when this came out, so I saw it. And then the 19th and the 22nd at 6 p.m. at various events, at various theaters, it's a Fathom Events, the 50th anniversary screening of The Sound of Music.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Sound of Music stuff in the media lately.
Have you and your lovely wife watched The Sound of Music?
Yes, we have.
Have you seen it on the big screen?
No, we have not.
Well, you have an opportunity. And it's still shorter than Gone with the Wind.
Directed by a Hoosier?
Robert Wise.
See? Yeah, from Indiana.
This is your pledge dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen.
Also at Franklin College, where I went to.
That's where you went?
Robert Wise went to Franklin, yes.
Does he have a building named after him?
He does not.
Mm.
They got to work on that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, let's take a short break, and we'll talk about the Indianapolis Jewish Film Festival. We have some titles on DVD and Blu-ray, and we have a couple of dead people we like, because we never have time for dead people we don't like. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Bye. Williamson, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI in Naptown. You know what I'm saying? Keep listening. You might learn something.
That's right. Gary's own Fred the Hammer Williamson. We got to get him back on the show. We'll get that. Just a reminder also, folks, next week, a week from Friday, a week from today, at Butler University, there will be a screening of the Glenn Kane documentary, I'll Be Me, and director James Keach will be in attendance, as well as I believe a couple of Glenn's kids will be doing a performance, I believe, after the screening. And I'm trying to get James back in studio to do an update from when we last talked, and if he can make it, that would be great. And if not, we will just replay my chat with him from January, talking about working on the documentary, as well as I had to indulge him with questions about The Long Riders, which is one of my favorite Westerns. So we will get to DVDs and Blu-rays in a little bit, but we have in studio Robert Epstein and Stan Springer from the Indianapolis Jewish Film Festival, which starts April 23rd and runs through May 3rd. So, gentlemen, it is now officially an annual event. Congratulations.
Thank you, with a lot of hard work.
I bet. Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and other horn-based rock bands.
Yes. And the Moody Blues.
And the Moody Blues, Chicago, yes. With help from, or Chicago Transit Authority, if you're really going to go that far.
Or Tower of Power.
Ooh. Did you're a Tower of Power fan, right, Cope?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Just checking. So, guys, how was it as far as a range? It's funny, I'm looking, before we get to the lineup, the first three, I'm like, gosh, it's my childhood all over again. Was there a theme how was it as far as arranging the films for this year?
Well, we had a committee of about 20 people that reviewed we started off with 200 films, narrowed it down, and decided, let's go with some old classics to start with. And so as a result, Golda, which is a PBS film, is the lead film. And we thought that would be a good film because it's Israeli Independence Day. And so it ties in with Golda Meir's life. It's also the last film by Ingrid Bergman. Mm-hmm. So it's a great portrayal of Golda. It's very long. It has an intermission. That'll work out very well.
Starting with an epic.
Yes. The second one is Chosen, mm-hmm. which is adapted from the Chaim Potok novel. And it's a late start. We had to start at 9:30, which for millennials is not a bad time to see a film, actually. So we're hoping a lot of millennials turn out. And then the gala, again, we had four women specifically look at Jewish-oriented films that had something to do with weddings, Yentl being one of them, as mm-hmm. an example. Goodbye Columbus being another one. And they selected Crossing Delancey, starring Amy Irving.
Peter Rieger.
Yes.
Jerome Crabb, I remember this one.
Right.
Yep.
And that is an old film. And the theme of the gala is the Jewish wedding. So we're starting out with what's known as a klezmer band before we eat. And then there'll be Jewish-style food served. And then we'll have an actual Jewish wedding on stage with with what's called a chuppah. The marital canopy, there'll be remarriages of several people, including myself and my wife.
Oh, okay. This sounds like Tony and Tina's wedding, but have actual people getting married.
Actually, people getting remarried. Mostly remarried.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll be showing the film Crossing Delancey.
You'll have to have pickles, obviously, with Crossing Delancey.
Well, of course we'll have pickles. We'll have pickles and we'll have pickled herring and poached salmon, a whole poached salmon and blintzes and all that kind of stuff. Then we have two ladies that are coming in from New York that are headliners. And the first one is Galen Ross, who was featured in the Star yesterday in mm-hmm. the entertainment section. Galen is a graduate of Broad Ripple High School, and she produced Killing Castor, which is quite a controversial film. It portrays Rezio Castor, who was from Hungary, and collaborated with Eichmann to save Jews. So the question is, was he a devil or a saint?
Right.
And in Israel, he was assassinated. So it does pose that question. She will be here. She'll answer questions. And I can only say to the listening audience, that one is selling pretty quickly. So I would suggest you go online to www.indianapolisjewishfilmfestival.com and buy your tickets for that Now and any of the others you can find on the same website. And then we have, and that's on the 27th,
right,
at the Landmark Theater. And then Wednesday, we have Nancy Spielberg coming in, who is the sister of Steven Spielberg.
Who knows a thing or two about film.
Knows something about film,
yeah,
right.
A little bit.
And Nancy produced a film called Above and Beyond, which is the history of the formation of the Israeli Air Force. And it's mostly by Americans, as I found out, who served in the Second World War, went to Israel, not all of them Jewish, and helped form this Air Force, which today is considered one of the better ones in the world. I don't know if they're going to show up, but I've invited members of the Indiana Air National Guard to come as our guests. And I, Stan, you did that as well, didn't you?
Yes, I did. The troop out of Fort Wayne and the group out of Terre Haute.
Right. And I spoke to the Stout Field folk to see if we could get some here. And I think there will be a representation of the Air National Guard, and we'll salute them at the showing of this film.
Mm-hmm. And going through the list a little bit, Stan, can you tell us a little bit about Lemon Tree?
I'm going to give that to Bob because Bob's actually seen – I have not seen that one.
Okay,
yet,
sorry.
Bob knows more about that one than I do.
I put you on the spot.
That was a spot one. Good,
okay.
Good try, though. That was
here
good.
You go, folks, live radio right here.
Right here.
Good try, man. You'll get him next time.
Good try.
I have seen Lemon Tree. Okay. In fact, I am reviewing all of the films now in anticipation of the festival. Lemon Tree was actually in circulation here a couple of years ago. It's not an old film. It's a couple of years old. I liked it because it it shows a contemporary problem. It shows the struggle between Israelis and Palestinians. The movie takes place largely on the West Bank, where the Israeli defense minister is building a mansion, and right next to a Palestinian lemon orchard. And the Secret Service of Israel says, we've got to tear down this orchard. It's a threat to the security of the defense minister. So there is this struggle between this Palestinian woman, through her lawyer primarily, it goes all the way up to the Israeli Supreme Court. Quite frankly, it doesn't show the Israelis in the best light, with one exception. The defense minister's wife is very sympathetic, and the Palestinian lady comes out very, very well. So it's a little bit of a controversial film, but it shows something that is extremely contemporary right now, because for those that know current Middle Eastern history, there are struggles over West Bank settlements and what's going on in the Middle East generally.
Well, it sounds like there's plenty, this year's lineup, plenty of gray area when it comes to subject matter, character representation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Another one that has two great characters is the last film called Arranged. For those that came to the festival last year, there was a movie called David, which received great reviews. And Arranged is made by the same production team. Mm-hmm. In fact, there are some of the principal characters in Arranged that were in David last year. And this is a story similar to David about Arabs and Jews in Brooklyn, New York. And in this case, we have an Orthodox Jewish woman and a Muslim woman that are both teachers. They become friendly with one another, and their families are trying to arrange marriages for each of them. And it's how they deal with that and how they deal with each other. That's the story of Arranged. I recommend it. It's mm-hmm. very, very good.
And then we have two other titles I noticed. One is The Jewish Cardinal, and the other is Bottle in the Gaza Sea.
Let me talk about The Bottle in the Gaza Sea first. That also is a film about Palestinians and Jews in Israel. There's a young Jewish girl that throws a bottle into the sea, and it is picked up with a note in it by a Gazan. And they correspond with one another. I won't give the whole story away,
sure.
But it is the interaction between this young Israeli girl and the Gazan and how that works out. We had one last year that was also a little bit like that called The Other Son, which got great reviews. That was the story of, without talking too much about last year, with a Palestinian and a Jewish boys that were switched at birth. and how that all resolved.
Well, you see, it sounds like a bottle is a it's a less schmaltzy version of the Kevin Costner film Message in a Bottle.
Yes.
No Nicholas Sparks involved in the in the making of A Bottle in the Kazakh Sea.
And it's suitable for children. That one I would have no reservation about saying kids 8 years and above could go to see. There's really no violence in it.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is The Jewish Cardinal. And The Jewish Cardinal is the story of a Polish Jew, Lustiger, that escaped Poland during the Holocaust and ended up in France, where he was raised by a French Catholic family. And he becomes a priest and becomes elevated in the French Catholic Church and becomes the number one Catholic in all of France. But he never gives up his Jewish roots, as you will see in this film. It has been shown in film festivals all over the country with great reviews. And in this case, it's going to take place at Christian Theological Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have a discussion led by Father Rick Ginther of the Archdiocese here, along with two rabbis. We have to team up on Father Ginther, so we're going to have Rabbi Halpern.
Like and, a tag team?
Well, and Rabbi Spiegel, Aaron Spiegel.
Mm.
And Rabbi Spiegel asked me, how is it that you selected two rabbis? And I said, well, if you've seen Father Ginther, he's a fairly large guy, and you guys are both quite small. So I think when you add your weights together in size that, you know, you'll have to deal with Father Ginther.
Will they walk into a bar later?
Absolutely. And so the discussion will be about two things.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be about what's called Vatican II, which was in 1964. And I actually attended as a representative of the Jewish community the 20th anniversary of that at Notre Dame in 1984, and went to a bar with a bunch of priests afterwards and had something to drink.
And screwing a light bulb later.
Yeah, absolutely. And generally speaking about Catholic-Jewish relations, and that is what Notre Etate, as it was called, mm-hmm. was about. Vatican II was about the church opening up itself not only to relations with Jews, but also to Muslims. So that should be a very feisty and interesting conversation.
Excellent. So I guess you going back a little bit about last year, what have you learned from last year that you were able to incorporate this year as far as whether it's film selection or hospitality or, you know, what's going to happen on site? Stan?
We found out last year we utilized a lot of venues last year. We used the Landmark Theater for one of our venues, and then the library, and then the CTS, Christian Theological Seminary, for our films. And we saw from our people that attended that they really liked the opportunity to see different places that most people don't go to see a film. The Central Library has a beautiful theater to watch a film in, and most people don't get to see that. And so we've added a couple more, and we're going to go to the Indiana History Center for one of our films, another nice venue. So we've incorporated that into our thinking to try to, again, expand the knowledge base of other places that films could be seen.
Mm-hmm. There was one other thing we learned about the venues. We had one of our films at University High School, which had folding chairs and not soft seating.
Ooh.
That is a problem. So this year, all of the venues have soft seating, including Haston Hebrew Academy, which is a wonderful film venue. It's 300 seats, professional people operating the film. So that should be a very good venue.
Mm-hmm. And were you? I mean, once the festival's up and going, are you guys going to be able to enjoy yourselves, or are you still on a work detail?
Yeah, we enjoy ourselves. We attend all the films. We watch them again, and
okay.
So it's always good to sit there. Why it's kind of neat because you've seen some of them. I've seen some of them, and so therefore it's kind of neat to see the reactions of people in the theater in comparison to sitting and watching a film, which most people don't get to do. So it's kind of neat to do that.
Stan, how many films did you get to watch for this year's festival?
For this year's, I've seen three.
Okay, but I mean, I guess overall, as far as the selecting process,
I saw four
okay.
total. and three of them happen to be what.
So you're batting 750. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's not a bad on base percentage.
Now the guru to this obviously is Bob over here because Bob has seen all of these films.
Yes,
the man is incessantly watching films, so he knows films. He knows his stuff, and that's why he's such an integral part to this this festival.
Yeah, actually, he's watching Bridge on the River Kwai right now as we speak.
And he's whistling.
I have been there to the bridge.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I can tell a story about that.
Can you?
Yeah.
For the air?
Sure.
Okay. I could tell you.
I was with a lawyer in our office. We had just come down from Kathmandu. We were climbing at Mount Everest. And so we had a few days in Thailand. So we went out to the bridge over the River Kwai. And Mike Donahoe, who's now the chief public defender, federal defender, was the fellow I'm referring to. He's a daredevil. So he crossed the bridge to the other side, and as I'm seeing him cross, I hear a choo-choo coming towards me. Mike hops on the train as it's going from about 10 miles an hour, close to 40, and he takes a rolling jump off the train and is not injured. That's Mike.
Did you see David Niven or William Holden at the bottom? Thankfully
not. I did not. No. It's a great film, though.
It is. I found it on Blu-ray. Haven't gotten to it yet, and now that we've had this conversation, it'll hop up on my list. Cove, you've not seen Bridge on the River Kwai?
Yeah,
you have.
That was one of the that was in the early days of what is Kobe watching?
Ah, very good. And so Bianca has not seen it.
No, she's not.
We'll have to work on that. I remember stating in my house, of course, I am pop culture Atticus Finch, and as I was explaining to my daughter, she had to have been about eight. But it was the idea of watching movies on a laptop or on your phone, which kind of drives me a little batty. And I remember looking at her randomly. This was not really provoked by her or anybody. I just said, I don't ever want you watching a David Lean film on a phone.
Yeah.
And her response was, Dad, I don't know who David Lean is. Why would I watch his films on a phone? Thanks.
Well, one of
Thanks,
my favorite
child.
Films is Dr. Zhivago.
Yes. And that the big. I'm ashamed of my television in my living room. It's not big enough to watch his films on it.
I watch it every winter once.
Really?
In the winter. To me, it's a winter.
Well, yeah, that's
film.
A winter. Yeah, Brian and Monica Hartz do that. Let's go. We have to. And then I bought the huge. There's a huge box set of Lawrence of Arabia.
Sure.
Which the Fox Theater in Detroit in 1989, they went through a $2 million renovation project. And one of the first events they did in 1989, I paid $10 to see a 70mm print of Lawrence of Arabia.
Sure.
With live organ accompaniment before, during intermission, and after. And worth every penny. Just an amazing film to see on a huge screen.
Matt, you know, earlier you asked, how did you go about selecting films? Yeah. And it partly goes back to my philosophy of films. I would rather see a great film 10 times than an average film once.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we've selected films, the old ones particularly, that are excellent. And the newer ones, we think the audience will all like because they're quite good.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to some of the schlock that we, as I said, we saw 200 films. We get them from distributors all over the world that have Jewish themes.
Right.
And some of them really are not that good.
Were there ones that didn't make the final cut that might be considered for next year?
I saw one that came across my desk yesterday that definitely will be considered for next. I haven't seen it yet, but it takes place in Argentina where there is an Israeli agent that is hunting a former Nazi that has participated in a bombing in the Argentinian Jewish community. And it has very good reviews. I'm going to see it probably in the next week.
Not to be confused with Gregory Peck or Laurence Olivier.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And then there's a film called Bekel. Theodore Bekel is making the rounds of Jewish festivals. Actually, he attended in Sarasota this year, and it's about his life. And that's something that we would consider if we can afford his attendance particularly.
Fingers crossed on that.
Yeah.
As I was saying earlier, because I remember seeing A Woman Called Golda on television when it came out, because I've had a special spot in my heart for Ingrid Bergman, as really all humans should, and Crossing Delancey when it came out. And the odd thing was I only watched that because I knew Peter Riegert was in it, because anybody who was involved with Animal House,
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, I should you know you do that with certain actors, like, oh, so-and-so is in this. And then The Chosen, I remember, because prior to this, Robbie Benson had only done, you know, kind of soft romantic comedies of note in the late 70s. And then this was something that was slightly different. And it was, for at least a lot of kids my age, an introduction to two different worlds in the same neighborhood in New York.
Right. It should be noted that Robbie is on faculty at
yes.
IU, and he's been invited, but he is to come up for this, but he is not in good health. He's had health problems for the last two or three years, so I don't expect him to come.
So, and one of my other favorite rabbi dads, Rod Steiger. So,
yeah, going back to Dr. Zhivago,
exactly.
Kamarov,
or even going even further back in on the waterfront.
Yeah,
I always remember that there was a great article about him by Rod Steiger. I think it was in Movie Maker magazine, and it was a quote that he had said about himself, and he said, 60% artist, 40% whore."
Yeah.
And if you looked at Rod Steiger's film credits, that's kind of spot on. But
right.
He was aware of the 40%.
He was certainly a whore in Zhivago.
Yeah. but a really good performance in a really good film.
Yeah.
I always remember he was doing it was when Bill Maher had Politically Incorrect on ABC. And he would have a string of random people to communicate, have a discussion. And sometimes the show gets short or sometimes it goes too long. And I remember Steiger was in the panel and Mar looked at his watch and went, "Oh, we only have a minute left." And he looked at Rod and goes, "Would you do El Duce?" And Steiger got up and started screaming like Mussolini for a minute as the credits roll. Hmm. Thanks, Rod. We like that. Anyway, folks can go to IndianapolisJewishFilmFestival.com for more information.
Yes,
and you can
yes.
follow it on Twitter as well as Facebook. But there's plenty of shows to see. Hopefully you guys can everybody can go and check these out. And of course, it's also an insert in this week's Nuvo.
Right.
So if you missed some of the information here, now I have to mention this. It's Nuvo's weed issue. So good timing, guys.
Right.
Congratulations. Right. It'll be a lot of fun.
We also will accept credit cards at the door. We'll have a machine there to take your money that way, or cash, of course, if you haven't bought your tickets online, which we recommend.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So saves you time on that. So now that you guys are kind of sort of in the home stretch of this festival, have you guys been able to watch anything for fun at home?
Yes.
would you share that with us? Can you share that with us?
Well, I'm sort of looking at other films for next year already.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reviewing the films that are on this year's program.
Okay.
But I enjoy that. You know, it is enjoyable. It's not, there's no pressure at this point. The films have been selected. Sales are going well. We expect, we had about 1,000 people last year, and we hope to get 1,500 to 2,000 this year, which would be a nice number. And it'll go from there. I mean, there's some of these Jewish film festivals where they have 30 and 40 films. We're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 60 Jewish film festivals across the country.
60.
And I think we were I was amazed that we didn't have one here. That's why I sort of had the idea with others, including Stan, to see if we couldn't figure out how to put one on here. And that's why we're doing this.
How many of the 60, how many have you attended? I mean, or have you attended to take notes, to get ideas, or have you corresponded with the other festivals?
I have corresponded with several of the other festivals, and I need to give credit to my sister, who's flying in for this. She is, for 50 years, was a member of the Hollywood Film Society and would screen 8-10 films a year, and it was very much up on the festival. So, as an example, I'm very... I have been talking continuously with the director from Charlotte, Atlanta, San Francisco, and Boston to get their ideas and what kind of films they're doing and where they get their films and how they get their films and how they do licensing and all of the other things that are required to put on a festival, including raising money.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do this without sponsorships and raising money.
We know all about that. 1-800-233-0020 or WFYI.org.
That was a good lead-in, wasn't it?
It's good. You get an assist.
Yeah.
we have here radio stats.
Yep.
Kobe, do we have the halftime report for our stats? I think we passed the subjects very well.
We're gonna be looking for a lot more segues in the second half of the show.
It's the Doritos halftime report. Okay, very good, very good. I want to shift gears a little bit, and because here's some titles that you could possibly rent at home once you guys are able to rest once the festival is over. Anyway, there's no rest for the weary. I knew what the answer was. See, I set myself up there. Yeah. Okay. actually, do you have the DVD title or the sequence?
The DVD segment thing?
Yeah, do you have the intro?
Yeah, I can get that.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah. Stall.
Oh, you're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Let's go to the video store.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard any about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome. Welcome back. We were talking about Stan, it's not a final. You don't have to Stan was saying he needs to watch more movies before coming on the film show. It's fine. I've had guests on. I had a guest on. He was an actor, and you know, he had only watched one film for the last 6 months because he had a 6-month-old child. So it's no worries. Don't worry about it. It's fine. New on DVD this week, Kobe. We were talking earlier about what sounds to be like an interesting horror film called Unfriended.
Mm.
It's more interesting for some than others.
Yes.
But a film that came out at the end of last year that members of the IFJA, the Indiana Film Journalists Association, a.k.a. the doughy white guys with glasses, were kind of debating about because, for me, it was one of the smarter horror films to come out in the last couple of years, and it's the Australian film The Babadook. And this was a story about a mother and her son, and they have a book. Well, it's the title of the film. It's also the title of this children's book that looks very Edward Gorey-esque, dark in tone, and bad things are happening around the household. And we don't know if the house is haunted, if the book is possessed, if the mom is possessed, or if the son is possessed. And it sounds like there's a lot of red herrings being thrown at you, or MacGuffins, and it's actually not the case. They handle the hints of where the source of the evil in the film, they handle it really well, and really solid performances from the mother and the son. So this is not Saw 7, and it's not Paranormal 3, but I'm just saying it could be something. I might make you watch this as a wager.
Sounds
maybe
Stephen King like.
Shorter than Stephen King novels, definitely, because Stephen King would write 500 pages about this desk.
Right.
But, or 50. But, it does have a little of a feel, early King feel to that. But definitely, that's worth checking out. Also on DVD and Blu-ray this week, because, as Kobe knows, Film Sociology, we are very pro Christoph Waltz.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And his film Big Eyes,
yes,
working with Tim Burton and co-starring with Amy Adams.
Yep.
You saw this, right?
Saw Big Eyes.
It's Tim Burton's kind of Valentine to, it's not great painting. Adams plays a painter who winds up becoming making a series of paintings that become popular. Her husband, played by Waltz, winds up taking the credit and turns it into a money-making machine and turns his wife into a money-making painting machine. And it's kind of, when is she finally going to stand up and be strong?
Mm-hmm.
And first off, it's nice to see Tim Burton work with somebody else other than Johnny Depp.
Yep.
And similar to Ed Wood, and it's the same screenwriters, though, as well. She's not being portrayed as the next Picasso or Matisse. She does what she does, and it's done well. And if you've seen, you know, the Big Eye series of paintings, they're familiar to folks if you know art from the 60s and 50s. It's just the showing of this is what this woman does, and she loves to do it. And that's all she really wants to do, despite what her husband does. Really good performances by Adams and Waltz. And can't wait for Waltz to work with Tarantino once again. Can't wait. And then, oh boy, I saw the latest David Cronenberg film called Maps to the Stars. Interesting cast. You have John Cusack, Julianne Moore, Robert Pattinson. So Bianca will have to take note.
Good cast.
It is a good cast. It's a really unpleasant experience. It is David Cronenberg's version of the Hollywood sucks story, where everybody involved in the business is corrupt and backstabbing and really deep down inside, really insecure. So we have these intertwining stories. Julianne Moore, who's actually very good in this, and it's a fairly daring role for her. She's not afraid to take risks. She's an aging actress who is wanting to play the lead in a remake of a film that was done originally by her mother. Problem is, Julianne's character has mom issues, and as it finds out, there's a question of whether her mom actually did or did not molest her character as a child. Mm. Yeah, date night, right? But wait, there's more. She is also under the guidance of a self-help guru played by John Cusack, who is, insert favorite self-guru who's on TV, Punchline. You know those guys. His son is a child star who's getting a little older in the tooth as far as kid shows, and a great big pain in the butt off camera. There's a sister that has a restraining order against her that winds up popping in and being a limo driver and assistant for Julianne Moore's character. The assistant hooks up with Robert Pattinson, who plays a limo driver who wants to be a screenwriter. And all the stories are intertwining and connecting, and they're all not fun people at all. I'll watch a Tarantino film. I'll watch Wolf of Wall Street. But these people are not fun to watch one bit. So there. That's out there. So, you know how sometimes, now Kobe, I've given Kobe the advice, and gentlemen, you have to back me up in this. There are certain films you just don't want to see and then go to bed. Mm. If you see something really heavy, and it, you know, especially if it's date night, I was like, you know what? You don't want to end the night on that.
Still Alice.
yes. Good example.
Silence of the Lambs.
Very good example. You know, you need to watch something like Bob's Burgers or
cleanse the palate.
Yeah, cleanse the palate a little bit before going up the stairs. You just don't want, well, honey, that's over. Let's go to sleep. You don't want to do that. Well, I saw, I rented Maps of the Stars, saw it Thursday morning, and I rented a second film that had just come out a couple weeks prior on DVD and Blu-ray, and I have to give the film a little extra credit for cleansing my palate. And it's the Jason Statham film Wild Card, which was a remake of a film done in the 80s called Heat. In this, Statham plays a professional chaperone in Las Vegas. He's a security expert who's hired by a young businessman from Boston to be his bodyguard and to teach him moments of bravery. And the Statham character also has a bit of a gambling problem. All he wants to do is make $500,000 so he can go away from Vegas for 5 years. He also helps out a young girl who was beaten up by the son of a mob prince from the East Coast. And what's interesting is the film is based on a novel that was written by William Goldman, who also did the screenplay. This is, of course, the gentleman that wrote Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Right. Kid, All the President's Men, may or may not have had a hand in Good Will Hunting, depends on who you talk to. But this was also a film that Burt Reynolds made in the early or in the late 80s. Which didn't do all that well. I remember seeing it because I'm a Reynolds fan, and the film is okay. What's interesting is to see Statham surround himself with other decent actors, because usually it's him and folks that he can beat up easily. And it's more than that in this. You have a cast that includes Stanley Tucci, Jason Alexander, Hope Davis, and Hayes shows up briefly. And it's more than just him. It's more than just you waiting for him to kick somebody in the face. So anyway, it's similar story that from what I saw almost 30 years ago, and actually a better Statham film than The Average Bear. So, and again, it helped cleanse my palate from watching a really unpleasant David Cronenberg film. And I usually like David Cronenberg films. I liked Dead Ringers. I liked his version of The Fly. I liked The History of Violence and Eastern Promises. This one, not so much. New old titles on Blu-ray, which asks the question, if you have a Blu-ray player, do you need to buy this so you can get a clearer picture? Hopefully there's more special features, that sort of thing. I think of Bob Bloom, our correspondent from up in Lafayette, who we will get on the show one of these days. The film Tales of Terror from the 60s with Vincent Price, Peter Lorre, and Basil Rathbone, which has probably been on late-night TV since the mid-60s.
That's a group.
That is a group. I remember Gene Siskel saying, if a lunch conversation between two actors is better than the film itself, that's a problem. And I remember taking that a step further with, if you're going to have DVD and Blu-ray releases of movies, there are certain films you actually want to film the wrap party of. I think Tales of Terror would be fun, a fun lunch and wrap party with Vincent Price, Peter Lorre, and Basil Rathbone. If you're a fan of musicals, The Fantastics is finally out on Blu-ray. You've not seen The Fantastics
yet.
Don't know it. You'll have to ask Fair Sweet Bianca about that.
Okay.
Maybe she could be the musical correspondent.
She could.
She could.
One of the longest running musicals on Broadway.
Exactly.
All Broadway.
And I believe a group up in Anderson is doing it this month. So. Yeah. Have to check that out.
It may have been played for 30 years, something.
I believe so, because it was that, and Cats, which went on forever. And I know in London, 10 Little Indians or an Inspector Calls were long shows.
I think they're talking about also bringing that back to Broadway, if I'm not mistaken.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think I read something on that.
Mm-hmm. Also out on Blu-ray, this is a film that's very near and dear to us here at Film Sociology. And, of course, when I think of this, I think of our buddy Ed Johnsonat. Who, by the way, speaking of Ed, pick up the Weed issue of Nouveau. Ed Johnsonat has written an article, Movies to Watch While Baked. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
We'll get to that list in a little bit. No, gentlemen, I will not ask. but anyway, the 1974 John Borman sci-fi extravaganza, Zardoz, with Sean Connery in a long ponytail and a diaper running around with Charlotte Rampling. This was John Borman's follow-up to Stan. You're shaking your head. You experienced this monstrosity.
No, but it's
I have.
Bad.
Oh, it's fun bad.
It's fun bad.
Yeah, it's have a few drinks and watch bad. It's John Borman's follow-up to Deliverance. It's also the film he did before Exorcist II, The Heretic. Not a good middle of the decade for John Borman, but it's a futuristic world that looks like it was shot in Wales with a lot of smoke machines. And anyway, it's just ridiculous. It's fun. And we need to get a Zardoz belt buckle for Ed Johnsonat, which apparently they actually didn't make one of those. A couple other titles worth checking out that are not fun bad. They're fun to watch. The Ian McKellen version of Richard III from the late 90s, where it could be Europe in the 40s, but not really telling you which country it is. There's a symbol. It's red. It's round. You do the rest. But it's Ian McKellen. Chewing up all kinds of scenery in a good way as the title character. Maggie Smith, Annette Bening, Robert Downey Jr., Nigel Hawthorne, really solid cast. And then a film that I know, Kobe, you and Bianca will eventually have to watch, Remains of the Day. The Merchant Ivory film about a butler and a housemaid who may become a couple with Anthony Hopkins and Emma Thompson.
It's a wonderful film.
It is a wonderful film.
Okay.
You know who they work for? Lord and Lady. And Christopher Reeve's in this as well as a young Hugh Grant. So there are some titles we're checking out, old and new, on DVD and Blu-ray. Do we have the cinematic obit? Do we have Chris Lloyd?
Doing our the annual show of Dead People We Like.
there's a pretty big one this
we
week.
We don't have time for Dead People We Don't Like.
Yes.
I think we originally called it Hollywood Obits, and then Chris Lloyd came up with that nugget. Thank you, Chris. So we have a dead person we like. Director Paul Almond died at the age of 83 on Thursday, and what he's best known for is he did the very first installment of the documentary series 7-Up, which was later picked up by Michael Apted, and it's an interview with 7-year-olds in England. And the idea was to regroup them every 7 years to find out where they are in life. So Paul Almond did the first one, and then Michael Apted has been doing it ever since. The last installment was 56 Up 3 years ago. So hopefully there will be another one in a few years. But Paul Almond did the first one to that. Salute. I have not seen all of these yet. I would love to get the box set, but we need to get your pledge dollars first. 1-800-233-0020 or go to WFYI.org. Side note, and I don't care, I just have to bring it up. Bill Aarhus, who was the founder of Austin City Limits, passed away at the age of 80. Oh. Austin City Limits, I'm hoping that's something that just PBS will carry every Saturday night regardless. Mm-hmm. And side promotion, There will be a Austin City Limits edition of the Blues House Party fairly soon featuring folks like Susan Tedeschi, Delbert McClinton, Roy Buchanan, Gatemouth Brown, Albert Collins, and I know
Stevie Ray Vaughan, Robert Randall.
I don't know if Robert released the live album. There was a series of Live from Austin releases that had Gatemouth Brown and Albert Collins and Roy Buchanan. Anyway, we'll be checking on that. There's also I also have the CD Big Blue Extravaganza Best of Austin City Limits. So cool. That will be coming up a little bit. Gentlemen, we just got a couple of minutes. Do you remember the first film that knocked your socks off?
The first film that knocked my socks off?
Bob, Stan?
Whew. Goes back a long time.
I know. That's why I thought we got a few minutes. Not that many, but just a few. Just curious.
It could have been Bambi.
Okay.
When I was a little kid when I saw it. And, you know, like most kids that saw it 60 years ago, I'm up in years a little bit, was frightened.
Didn't see that coming that quick, right?
Right. The fire scene is what scared a lot of kids with Bambi. Then as an adult, I remember seeing Casablanca. Loved Casablanca. And then a little bit later, Zhivago, as I mentioned. I never got into the Civil War film as much as some, if you know what I'm talking about.
Are you talking Gone with the Wind?
Yeah.
It's Kobe's wife's favorite film. She's seen it 100 times. Kobe, how many times have you watched it from start to finish?
Oh, man, I don't know. The first time hasn't wrapped up yet.
Tara's still burning is what you're saying?
We're still in the intermission.
The same thing is true as some of these so-called spectaculars that I wasn't that crazy about, the Ten Commandments. As it turns out, I believe this is accurate, that Cecil B. DeMille actually lived in my hometown for a while. But he was, I'm not crazy about all of his films.
Well, he also made The Greatest Show on Earth.
Yeah.
Which makes the Ten Commandments look like Dr. Zhivago.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There are even longer films than that. Shoah, as an example.
Yes.
It's 8 hours long.
And riveting.
Yeah.
Just better than a three-hour Cecil B. DeMille picture.
I think I could be wrong on this. I think Spielberg put up a lot of the money for that production.
I believe he did. Yeah, because how many times can you play that a day in a theater?
Right.
So,
It's going to be interesting. I'm going to talk to Nancy about what she knows about Steven's connection with Indiana.
Well, we could talk about the mountains of Muncie, Indiana, and Close Encounters.
The same thing.
And Richard Dreyfuss wore a shirt of my alma mater.
Really?
The Ball State University. Uh-huh. Yes. So yeah, please tell them about my show.
I will.
This is how I get guests. Will you please tell them? Pass a note in study hall. Stan, do you have a film?
The only thing that pops in my mind, and I don't know why, we are having this gala, and we were going to get remarried with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And the first film I saw was Animal House. So you can imagine.
Wait, with your wife?
With my wife. That was the first date I took her on.
And you've been married how long?
We've been married 34 years. So that
outstanding.
And that was at my prime. That was my prime right then. So
the first.
Again, Animal House, and I don't know why. They popped into my head. So, and it obviously wasn't the greatest film ever. But
first film that I saw with my wife was at the Vogue and was In Cold Blood, which could have been.
Oh, my God. And you've been married how long?
47 years.
Wow.
See, Cobe, there's hope for us. I was going to give you my first film that ever knocked me out, Raquel Welch in 1 Million Years B.C.,
mm-hmm.
That's not really true. All right, Kobe. Well, it is true, but for different reasons. Kobe, do we have words to live by?
Silent breed is people.
Zardoz has spoken.
The Indianapolis Jewish Film Festival runs April 23rd through May 3rd at various events. Go to IndianapolisJewishFilmFestival.com. Bob, Stan, thanks for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Go see a good movie, no matter who, how long you've been married. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We go. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.